Go ahead, Thackeray, get started.
Please bow. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service that we've had to worship you and to study your word. We ask at this time that you be with the men of this congregation, that we might go into this meeting with proper mindset, with patience and kindness and gentleness in our hearts. Father, we ask that you help us to make good, sound decisions that are in accord with your will, that please you and do best to further your kingdom. Father, please be with our families and please be with us as we leave this place. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, guys, the finances I handed out, the one thing to point out, the balance, there's quite a big difference between last time. It was 144, now it's down to 131. Again, that's because our, if you look at the insurance line, our big insurance payment for the year went out. We also had the tree service from that we had, tree work we had done, which was $2,800, I believe, $2,700. That was taken out from on this statement. Then as well, our gospel meetings on this statement. And we had two of our quarterly support payments that came out on this statement. So that's why there was such a big drop. So that was expected. Just in case that was a sticker shock to someone that saw that and didn't realize why I wanted to point that out. As usual, if there are any questions about that, let me know.
This is just a once a year insurance payment, right?
Right. Yeah. The other thing, real quick before I forget, okay? Patsy wanted me to read you guys a note. She says, "Brothers, I would like to thank each of you who helped me clean up the flower beds and replant and mulch them. I also need to let you know that those plants need to stay watered over the winter. Dry plants freeze easily. Also, I'm not going to be able to help with the flower beds any longer. With the fact I fall easily, I need to give up trying to spend long hours cleaning in the flower beds before someone finds me laying on the ground Sunday morning. Patsy Johnson." So we appreciate, of course, Patsy's work and getting that done and all those that helped. And my only thing to add to that is just those men that sign up to do the lawn, once or twice, when you come up here a month, do the lawn, take a look at those flower beds, pull a few weeds here and there, and if we all do that, that should help to keep it up pretty easily. And I think Josh Scroggins is working on getting the water situation out there, so I can ask him about that later on. But there is a plan in place to keep those watered.
I'd also add that we've got, we set the goal of having quarterly work days. And with COVID, we stopped that.
Right.
And that may be something we could reenact as well. If we're not one or two doing all the work, we can kind of put those
right as well. That's certainly something to think about that we can start back up again. The next thing I had on the agenda was a benevolence request from Edmire Makuwe, who's the preacher that we've been supporting in Zimbabwe. Let me pull up that real quick. And so what he specifically, it's a list of things, and so I'll just tell you the message he sent me. He said that they are planning on this coming January that they are putting a work to equip more men for service, more congregations, needing teachers, leaders. So in the area, it's just a concerted effort to teach and to prepare and to equip men to be more leaders in the local congregations in that area. And of course, there aren't that many congregations in that area, so to set up congregations is I believe the idea there from what he said. He said, as more congregations need teaching and leaders. They're also planning on having a women's class later on in March. But anyway, he requests, and this is just a list, and so we're not going to be able to fulfill all these lists, but I'm just passing along the information. He said they would like resources for men's classes, computer, Shauna Bibles, which I'm not sure, I assume that's a translation, camping funds and transport fees. So the travel out there, they can't go stay in a hotel, so they've got to make do for their their stay in certain areas, and sometimes that's more difficult than others, from what I understand. Printer, projector, internet. He says, of course, prayers for those coming, clean water, food, toiletries, so, you know, necessities that they have back then, or need there. And so my suggestion is, I looked at the funds, we've still got about right around $1,000 left from what we budgeted. Of course, we can always go over what we budgeted. That was just a general number. And again, we're not going to be able to pay for all these things. But what I suggest is sending $1,000 to him and letting him use that is to fulfill these needs as he sees best to use that money, whether that's the getting the Bibles or the resources for the classes or the, you know, the necessities like the clean water and the food. Yes.
I don't object to sending $1,000, but that's not benevolent, so we need to, I mean, he may have referred to it as a redundant request, but that's realm of edification. It's not benevolence. So I'm not saying we can't use $1,000. Just take, if we have that fund, I don't think we should take it for the benevolent fund. And
well, he included kind of both in here, as you know, the food and
yeah.
You're right. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I know that kind of happened in India as well. But yeah, you're getting them there so you can teach them. It's I don't think it really ever
right
work. Not me.
Okay.
Evangelism and edification. Well, this is legitimate works.
Right. Understood. So does anybody object to sending those funds, that $1,000, for use for that need? Okay. Well, then I will get that to him tomorrow then. And let him know. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was about to make a comment before we got started, but you didn't slow down from that. But instead of combat would be anyway, I've attended many business meetings, and we make decisions concerning the local congregation, just like we did, and sometimes something comes up like this and anybody object, you know, that's fine. At other times we have a discussion and person make comments and then don't want to use the word vote, but you know, how many raise your hand for this, that, and the other, and we go by majority rule. But majority rule isn't always right. Sometimes because of our love for our brother and our sister, as we had from your dad there on Sand, had many sermons in the bulletin on love, and like I had today, and sometimes we got to put the love for our brother first before majority rule. Now that doesn't mean we didn't have the love, and I'm speaking of I think it's two business meetings ago, somebody had a problem of having the contribution right along with the Lord's Supper, and so we brought that up, and so we took raising hands on it, you know, and the majority there. But I'm concerned about the brother or sister who it was that had the problem with that. And we just went back the way it was before, you know. And it was a simple matter of just on that was to have a song before that, and the men just sit down, and then after the contribution, I mean after the song, they do the contribution. It's not that big a deal, you know. And we discussed that, but I didn't think about it. I mean, it was about so quick,
right?
You know. But anyway. I don't really want to reconsider that in what I'm saying here anyway. That bothers me.
Well, I'm ready to speak also.
Throw me off. But, you know, all we need to do is maybe have two songs before the Lord's Supper. That way you don't have more songs or whatever. But anyway, we do. It isn't always majority rule,
right? And just to clarify, and the way that worked, you know, for that could have been handled better by me as the leader or whatever I am. But just to remind everybody of what we've talked about before, we understand it's not majority rule. That's not how this is done. That's not something that we're going to do. It's not a democracy. What we want to do and what we strive for is coming to a consensus. That doesn't mean everybody is going to agree 100% on everything, but that means that everybody as a whole is okay with going along. But in order for that to happen, there is, by default, the need, as Dick mentioned, to have that love for one another, to show preference. When the majority of the group wants one thing and you want something else, and it's not a scriptural matter, then we each have the responsibility when they're in that situation to give preference to the group. And when we do at times raise our hands to get a count, or raise our hands to see, the purpose of that is to get a general idea without having to go around the room and each man to say individually, this is what I think. From my understanding, that's what we did last time, is got an idea of who was preferencing those different options, and it was overwhelmingly the majority decided that it was to stay the same, but I don't believe we decided that because of the majority rule. After that, Dennis, you were the one that brought that up, that perhaps I didn't do a just job in after we saw what the majority wanted, but did you have any objections to moving on? And I thought that I asked you that. But
I didn't have a personal problem. What I brought up was what Donna observed in her Bible class.
Exactly.
And that brought up the suggestion from someone that we would consider maybe doing it. Right. And we decided not to, so that's okay.
And that's something that also is, the parents of those kids, that's something we'll focus on, and we have been, to make sure we make that difference known. Yes, Josh?
He basically said what I was going to say, and that's how I understood the decision. So,
I did want to mention that when we're making decisions in this setting, it's suboptimal. We've talked about that several times. But something good to think about is when a call comes out for, hey, how do we think about this or that, or where we think we want to go, it's not a vote, but when people put forward their ideas, it's important to think about the people that are putting forward their ideas. And that's a big deal about with the eldership. One of the things with having elders and elders leading by example is when you look at an elder and the elder's like, I think I would head in this direction. Them being pointed out as an elder gives you a pause to be like, hey, this person is identified as a spiritual leader. I should give more weight to what they're saying than a new Christian. That's why a new Christian can't be an elder, is because they've not gotten to that point yet. And so when I'm weighing my own opinion about something, I weigh that balance. You can do that in the absence of elders, right? I'm going to give, whatever, let's say Jason got baptized tomorrow, right? I'm going to give Dennis's opinion about things more weight than I give Jason's opinion about things, because Dennis has been a Christian for a lot longer. He's experienced a lot more. He's had more time to gain that wisdom. So I think that's something that actually can guide us away from a majority rule. I tell you, it would give me pause if I and everyone younger than me all raised our hand for one thing and everyone older than me raised their hand for something else. I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. Look what just happened there. We need to talk about this more. So just something to consider.
Just real quickly, I think one thing that Dick was talking about was demonstrated by something Stan said in the last meeting when he was expressing a personal conviction. The consensus doesn't override the personal conviction of the one. I think maybe that's what Dick was getting at. If there's not a scriptural reason why we can't bow or submit to the to the needs of the one, then we should do it.
I agree with that.
All right.
I agree with that. Justin, I'll let you take the next one since you mentioned it, the next two actually, but the setting up a study for the...
Last meeting we said that we needed to have a study about the collection. And we have a tendency to say things like that and then never set up studies. So I was just reminding the group, hey, we said we were going to set up a study, or needed to set up a study about the collection. So I don't think it really warrants a whole quarter on the collection. So I don't know if we want to set up something on, like, just throwing out a random thing, Tuesday evenings or something. I don't know what we want to do, but we said it was something we wanted to talk about, so we should think about when to do that. So we don't necessarily have to do that now. Something that was pointed out to me was in the middle of a meeting is a bad time to come up with both ideas and the conclusion. So maybe people come with suggestions next time, we discuss it then, and then the next time we make a decision. So we don't have to be super fast.
And as we're making that, I would like to kind of add to that and suggest that I've been wanting to have a men's study anyway. So if we could settle on a convenient time to where we could have something ongoing, have that as our first topic, but maybe spend some time, at least for a period of time, 6 months or 8 months or whatever, just having a men's study. It may be something we can keep on in perpetuity, maybe not, but I've been missing the fact that we used to have one, and it's been a while since we had.
I think that'd be a good idea, and then if something comes up in the men's meeting that we need to specifically, then we can kind of set aside whatever we're currently in the middle of, and you know.
But after the holidays, maybe in January, when we come back and meet, we can have a time. So yeah, if you're thinking of the time, that would be best.
Yeah, if you're thinking about the time, that would be best and won't work. And, of course, it's not going to work every time for everybody, obviously, but we'll just try to figure out what would work best for the most often and go from there. And then the other
thing was, I want to bring this up because it took folk, a decade and a half to beat it into my head. So I thought I would bring it up with other people. I like to explore topics, but oftentimes when exploring it, I leave misimpressions or don't give people the tools they need to fully explore the topics themselves. So that was a very ambiguous statement. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about if I'm going to present something in a class, when I'm teaching a class, especially if it's something, and there's not unanimity among the congregation about the truth of it. So there's tons of examples, right? We can talk about the Lord's Supper. We did talk about the Lord's Supper in a class for a while. You can talk about the date of the writing of Revelation that we were talking about here recently. Or I forget, Stan had another example today that he brought up. No, it was in the bulletin where he said, I think you wrote that article, where he said, hey, I believe this about drinking, but I recognize that not all Christians believe this about drinking, right? So when you're in a class and you're teaching something, it's important to explain the thinking of other Christians, especially if those other Christians are a large minority or the majority. So I'll give you an example. I've said this before. I don't feel comfortable taking the Lord's Supper by myself in a second service, right? So if we were offering the Lord's Supper in two services, and I wasn't there for the first one for whatever reason, and I came in the second one, I wouldn't take it by myself because that's not how I read take it together, right? But other Christians feel differently. If I were teaching a class, I wouldn't just express my understanding of it as the one and only. I would express my understanding of it, and then I would express the other side, and I would even explain the thinking behind the other side. And I'll tell you why this came up, and I'm not trying to throw anything at anyone, but I'll tell you why it came up. Because right now the kids are studying 1 Corinthians, and so when they come out and they go, well, we studied this, and we talked about this aspect of it, but I don't think that's what everyone at Westside believes. It's like, well, you're right, right? Some people at West Side believe this other view of it. But had they not just brought that up with me, and God knows, teenagers, you know, sometimes they are clamped down and they don't tell you jack about anything that's going on in their lives. And other times they're more open. If they hadn't come to me, I couldn't have talked about the different viewpoints, right? Because they, of course, have to come to their own understanding. And I've talked with them for ages. You know, people aren't always right. People say things wrong all the times. Sometimes they say it because they believe it. Sometimes they say it because they just misspoke, right? I misspoke once today. Stan misspoke three times today. He caught himself two of the three times. It just happens because we're humans, right? And that came up a long time ago when Shirley was teaching them when they were 5 and 6 years old. And they came up to me and said, Dad, you're wrong. Miss Shirley said thus and such. And I'm like, well, listen, your teacher's not always going to be right. You got to examine every spirit that comes before you. But, A, people aren't always good about examining. So sometimes you got to say, hey, look, some people have examined this spirit that I'm telling you right now, and they've said it's false. And they've come to this other conclusion. I like to think I've done a better job of that. I like to think that Stan's done a better job of that as the years have gone by. I think he's handling the balance in the Revelation class pretty well right now, because there are obviously different understandings about how that book goes. That's a complicated thing. So just wanted to bring that up, kind of get it out there in people's minds. It happens earlier than you think. It happens so much earlier than you think. These little four-year-olds were having a debate about whether it was a whale or a big fish, all right? And it was a heated debate. And they wanted me to come down on the side, right? Justin, you're the teacher. You tell us, is it a whale or a big fish? You know, if that's happening at 4 years old, then if you present something to a five-year-old, a seven-year-old, a ten-year-old, they're going to take whatever you say as truth. And so you do have to be careful with that. And if they hear you say something and they take it as truth and then they hear something from the pulpit that contradicts it, that's very, very confusing for them. And if beforehand you've said, hey, I want you to know that other people in the congregation think this, and here's why they think that, then that gives them the full context, gives them both sides, so that when they hear that in the pulpit later, they go, okay, yeah, I was told about that. You know, Justin doesn't believe that, or Josh doesn't believe that, or Rick doesn't believe that, they believe this other thing. Here's why they believe that other thing. The person in the pulpit just said that, they believe the other side, and I've already been told why they believe the other side. I have to weigh these things and come to my own conclusion. That's true for the adult class or wherever. But I wanted to bring it up because it's one of those things that, you know, needs to be open and out and understood by everyone so that we can all be helpful to one another.
And that is all that I have, guys, on the Does anybody have anything else? I got one hand.
Two things really quickly. First of all, I would like for the men to remember that everything we say in the business meeting is being recorded and available to everyone in the congregation. And the reason I say that is because, number one, we had made that commitment to be above board with regard to the decisions and the whys by supplying that information, in part because of the problems that we had with the eldership that dissolved. Secondly, is that it is possible for individuals to misconstrue what is intended or meant if you're not careful in your language. Some of that's going to happen even if you are careful in your language, but we just need to make sure that we're not speaking in such a way as to possibly give offense if there's a misunderstanding, to the best of our ability. Because when we're talking, we can bring things up that maybe aren't necessary or that may be misconstrued by those who listen. Remember that we've got a number of older ladies in the congregation that this is the primary way that they know what's going on, and they are listening. They are diligent about looking at the meeting minutes and listening to the audio. So that was just kind of an admonition. Hopefully we can take into consideration. The main thing is that I wanted to bring up is because of the raise that y'all graciously gave me and a change with regard to my refinancing of my mortgage, I need to make an alteration by the first of the year with regard to the financial agreement, my compensation package is what it's called, which it doesn't mean anything with regard to anything as money, but it's just a matter of accounting so that I can get the housing allowance and expenses taken care of like I've been doing for 30 years. But that needs to be done by January. I don't need everyone to sign it or anything. I just maybe a couple of men in the congregation sign it. But just to make sure it's brought up in the meeting and that everyone's okay with me making those alterations. It'd be just a slight increase in the housing allowance and then, of course, reporting the raise in salary that I got. So if you have no objections to that, I'd like to.
Everybody okay with that?
I'll give that to maybe the treasurer.
You're saying it doesn't change the dollars, it's just the paperwork just to make paperwork. Make taxes work right and stuff?
Is the way they classify preachers. Yeah,
I suggest that
we don't worry about the men reviewing that. Just stand and take care of it, and you can ask whoever you want to say.
It all comes out in the wash, same amount that you're giving me.
Why are you asking for more?
I'm asking for more. Y'all gave me one without me asking. I appreciate it. Especially with the inflation's hit now.
Any objections to him handling that? Okay. It's just.
I would point out on the first thing Sam talked about that, that yes, they do listen. In fact, I got invited over to somebody's house to be talked to about something I said in one of the meetings. And I would definitely encourage people to do that. Kind of like I said in that sermon the other day. Keep it everything open and keeping flows of dialogue are necessary for us to be as helpful to one another as we can be. So if something sounds confusing, I guess I'm talking to the microphone right now, but if something sounds confusing about what we said, definitely go to whoever said it and say, hey, I didn't understand this thing you said. I want to make sure that, you know, I understand.
Anybody else? All right, thanks guys, appreciate it.